And you know, I said we're going through Old Testament character studies. We did Gideon, and then we did Samson, and now we're going to start the book of Ruth, and then we'll finish Ruth, and then go into Elijah, Elisha. But we're not going to do Ruth today. We're just going to talk about baptism. We have a baptism right after service today, so I just felt led to kind of share a little bit about baptism as we begin. So here, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the time we have together to honor you and to worship you. And thank you for being in our midst. And thank you for pray. And thank you for speaking to us. And I pray we'd hear very clearly how much you love us today. Each one of us would know we're loved by you and special in your eyes. And we thank you for the baptism and the things you're doing in our hearts related to that. And we pray for Mrs. Middleton and Amy and then her mother. Bring healing to her. Give Amy just comfort and strength as she is around her mom and blessing her mom. And thank you for Bill's mom, Lord, in 93 and going strong. We just pray strength for her and give Bill strength as he loves on his mom. And bless our time in your word, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the reason I wanted to share today about baptism isn't just only because we have one upcoming, but it's a really big deal in the eyes of God. So I want to share with you my heart and why I want to teach this today. And here's why. If you're a Christian and you've never been baptized, I want you to be baptized because God wants you to be baptized. And hopefully after these few minutes, you'll get a little bit more motivated to be obedient to God related to this. So just going to teach a short little bit today. I suppose you're rolling your eyes wondering what that really means. And then we'll head right over to the fitness center. Fitness center is 2 miles east of here. So get out, go east, and it's on the south side of the road. Can't miss it. And then we'll meet there. As soon as service is over, we'll go right over. I think most people's views on baptism are not shaped by the study of the Bible, but by the way they were raised. The family they were raised in, the church they were a part of when they were younger or even now. And that makes it a very emotional issue to them. I've talked with people who don't go to church, they don't read their Bible, they don't really even care about religious things. But if you start messing with their views on baptism, they get all worked up. And I've been involved with situations kind of like this. A man and a woman don't go to church. They meet. Not interested in God at all. They begin to live together. She gets pregnant. They have the baby. And almost from the hospital, they call me, "Pastor, we got to get this baby baptized." And so as I talk with them about it, why do you feel this way? They don't know why. It's an emotional thing. It's almost, in some ways, a little superstitious to them. It's like, well, it's just what we've been told we're supposed to do because we want our kid in. So before we launch into today's study, I want to give a little bit of a warning to you. If you were raised Episcopalian or Lutheran or Methodist or Catholic, and I could go on and on about some of the mainline denominations, you were probably taught that baptism is necessary for a person to go to heaven. And therefore, as a consequence, those churches tend to baptize their babies very, very early. But it's a tradition. It's a custom. It's a ritual, and my hope as we go through this word today is that you'll get a better understanding of what God says related to these things. And again, when I ask people who've sat underneath that kind of teaching why they believe what they say they believe, they always say to me, "It's because I've been told that." So if you come from that kind of background, and it sounds like I'm attacking your upbringing this morning, that's not my intent. My intent is to simply instruct what the Bible says related to this very important topic. As an aside to that, I find it fascinating when I talk to people, friends of mine, who've come from more of a traditional background, and I do too, Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist, kind of all in there together. So I do too. But when I talk to people who come from that kind of background, they've never, ever, ever, ever been encouraged to read their Bible. They believe the Bible's true. They even have one somewhere. And they treat the Bible with respect. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus as the Son of God, typically very moral people, but they freely admit that they never read their Bible. When I was working for General Electric Medical in the secular world back in the day, I had to go to Cincinnati for a week or 2 weeks or whatever to install some things. And I was working with a guy, just him and I, putting this room in. And I was there on a Wednesday night, and I knew the pastor in Cincinnati of a Calvary chapel. So I was going to go to the Bible study that night. And I turned to the guy I'm working with up to that time, three full days. I said, "Hey, I'm going to Bible study tonight. You're welcome to go with me. It'd be good." And he says, and I quote, "I'm Catholic. We don't do that." And I don't say that to disparage him. I don't say that to disparage anybody. I'm just saying that's what he said. That's what he felt. That's what he believed. And so when a person's a part of a religious environment where they've never read the Bible, then they simply follow what the church tells them to do, or people like me tell them to do. And if you're kind of new here today, I say it a lot. Don't believe a word I say. You're a fool. What's the Bible say? That's the important thing. So here's a contrast for you. I believe that the scriptures are our authority, but many people believe that the church is the authority. Now, that's a huge difference. So since I believe that Scripture is our authority, when we talk about what baptism means, we're going to look and see what the Scriptures say about baptism. So flip in your Bibles if you have one. We're going to put this one verse up. It's going to be go through your Bible day today. We've got four or five of them because I just don't want you to take my word for anything. I want you to see it with your own eyes. I'm not even going to put them up on the screen. I want you to find them in your Bible. I want to read them in your Bible. But we will put the first one up. Matthew 28, verse 19, the Great Commission. We know it. And the reason this is important is because baptism is a big part of Christian churches. And most of it is because of what Jesus said here, right before he sends up into heaven. So do we get the verse? Thank you, Chance. Here, let me find it in my own Bible. Matthew 28, verse 19. Let's see, 28's right after 27. Yeah, that's right, that's right. Yeah, Ohio education's really working for me, Keith. You see it? Jesus speaking. Let's start in 18. "All authority has been given to me," Jesus, "in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," verse 20, "teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, the word for baptize there is the Greek word baptismo. It's an imperative in the Greek. In other words, this is a command. It's not an optional thing. All believers in Jesus Christ are commanded to be baptized in water. Now, just quickly notice in verse beginning of 19, the first word there is go. So the necessity of going, the importance of evangelism, proclaiming the truth about Jesus to a lost and dying world, encouraging them to put their faith in Christ for the forgiveness of their sin. And then the second thing we see there, right in the middle of 19, it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So there are three reasons, according to Scripture. There may be more, but three main reasons as to why Christians should be baptized. The first is to obey this command. And there's the Bible verse for you. The second is that it allows us to profess Jesus publicly. Okay, now keep your, I don't know that we'll come back here, but flip to Matthew chapter 10. I want to show you the public part of things that's really important to Jesus. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. So this one is second reason why we're to be baptized is so that we can make a public statement that we believe in Jesus. You see it? Matthew 10, 32, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father in heaven." It's fascinating. When you read through your Bible, you see when Jesus called people to follow him, he always did it publicly. always. This required a person then to publicly acknowledge that they were putting their faith in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of me that just likes to be in the shadows related to my faith. In essence, kind of be a secret disciple of Jesus as I live my life. But Christ clearly calls me to stand for him publicly in this world. And being baptized says to the whole world, at least today, all of us who are going to be there, you're going to stand up and you're going to shout from your heart, I am a disciple of Jesus. That's important. So it's a command, but it's also a public statement that you're making to people that I am a follower of Christ. And the third one, reason that we're to be baptized is that it through it we identify with Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. And for that, and I'll probably read that at the pool, please come over. We won't be long. Romans chapter 6 is where we find that. So go to your right, all the way through the Gospels, and then you get to Acts, and then Romans is right after that. So Romans chapter 6, and don't forget you got the Corinthians in there too. Or did I go too far? I went too far. Okay, Romans chapter 6. Normally we don't jump back and forth to the scriptures, but I feel important today that you see it, and I wanted to just to read it. I believe part of our mission here as a church is to read the Bible, line by line, verse by verse, right? I don't want to talk about the Bible. I want to talk the Bible. So here it is, Romans chapter 6. We're going to read for a little bit, so stay up with me. Verse 1, what shall we say then? This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Don't miss that. 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died, verse 7, has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Verse 11, last one. Likewise you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the third reason Christians are commanded to be baptized is that we identify with Jesus' death, his burial, and the resurrection. So, water baptism, in the water, it represents the grave. So when the person is put down into the water, symbolically, we're burying them. And then when they're raised back up, 3 or 4 minutes, don't worry, Paula, or I'll pull you up. And three or four minutes, and then you're up, and we're alive to the things of God. In essence, they're saying, I'm dead to my old self. I'm alive to the things of God. And now they're going to live their life in devotion to Jesus. So that's why baptism is important. It's a public show of your inward commitment to Jesus, okay? And then the third, I don't know if we have the verse back up there, but back in Matthew 28, the third part is the teaching part, and that's why we teach. Because a person becomes spiritually mature because of the teaching of the Word of God, okay? Now, a couple more verses. Go back into the Gospels. Mark chapter 16. This gets a little sticky every once in a while when you walk your way through this. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Same kind of thing. It's the Great Commission. Let me find it. Here we go. You read it? Find it okay? 16. Jesus says to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Okay, stop with me. It goes on a little bit, but that's the part I wanted. So we see a promise in those two verses related to salvation, and then we also see a warning. The promise is that the disciples, as they go forth and share the good news about Jesus, they're going to be saved. Their people will be saved. Now, I said before when I was talking about the examples that some have taken verses like this right here in 15 and 16, and they try to make the case that baptism is essential for salvation. In theological circles, it's called baptismal regeneration. They believe that a person isn't born again until they're baptized. I, according to the scriptures, totally and completely disagree with that. I don't believe that's what Jesus is saying here at all. Now, one little caveat, I know I'm going to risk a little bit, but I want to say it. It's not just a Catholic, not just a Lutheran. There are other, more what we would call evangelical churches who hold to this. The Christian church denomination, the Park Chapels, the Outlooks, the Creeks, East 91st, Traders Point, they believe you have to be baptized to be saved. You won't know that if you go. And you have to ask hard questions to find out. But they absolutely, positively believed that you are not born again until you're baptized. That's an issue. And again, most people who go there have no idea that that's a tenet of the what they believe. But notice when we read through this, Jesus does not say he who does not believe and is not baptized will be condemned. He doesn't say that in 16. It says he who believes and is baptized will be saved. The expectation clearly in this verse is that those who believe will be baptized. And then what condemns a person? A person doesn't condemn for failing to be baptized. They're condemned for failing to believe. And the emphasis on this verse, if you go back and you read it in the original language and you read it through the scriptures, it's clearly on believing, not on baptizing. And by the way, it's one of the reasons that I and many others believe that infant baptism is not scriptural. Clearly here, Jesus connecting believing with being baptized. And infant baptism separates those two. Dave and Lauren, if they brought their baby back and they brought her up, Abigail, to me and said, okay, we're ready for her to be baptized, well, they would be violating this verse. Because read it again. He who believes will be saved. And it's all through scriptures. There's an element of the mind exists and the heart that exists, and an infant has no capacity to believe like that. So whatever you want to say about a baby being baptized, that doesn't fit this criteria. We love dedicating children to the Lord here. And it's a worthy thing for a parent to do. Stand in front of the congregation and say, I'm dedicating my child to God. That's fabulous, and it's biblical. But that's not baptism. No, baptism's connected to belief. Jesus said it again, he who believes and is baptized. So why have churches taken the principle of baptism and pushed it all the way up to when a person is an infant, even though there's not one example in the entirety of the Bible, not one of an infant baptism? Look, it's not there. Why do they do that? Tradition? Ritual? I don't know. It's not scriptural. Another verse, Acts chapter 2. I think maybe our last verse. Acts chapter 2, so go to your right, toward the back of the book a little bit. Another little challenging thing, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Kind of speaks to the same thing, but this is a verse those who hold to those kind of things tend to land on. Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. See the grammar there? That's why they land on that. Let me read it again. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's an unfortunate translation in my Bible, the New King James, that this verse suggests that a person needs to be baptized in order to be saved, because that isn't what it really speaks to. The word for that's used there is a preposition. And it would be better translated as you go through it, because of. So let me read it the way that it was originally written. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because of the remission of sins.
So let's say we live in the wild, wild west, and we're going through the town, and we see a wanted poster. Wanted, Jesse James for bank robbery. You don't want Jesse James so he can commit a bank robbery. You want Jesse James because of bank robbery, right? That's exactly what it's speaking to here. It's the word is because. So when you read it that way, it connects. The reason we're to be baptized is because my sin has been forgiven. And that's what the Bible says. There's not one person in the entire planet that's ever been on this planet that's saved through water baptism. We're saved on the basis of faith. We're trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross. And water baptism, then, is simply obedience. It's how we worship God and how we thank Him for saving us. Okay? Now, a couple questions as we finish. And I don't know, maybe you got others, but these are the ones that kind of jump into my mind. When you're baptized, do you have to be totally submerged? No, but the word baptismo, remember, literally means to plunge or to soak or to dip. So it definitely implies self-immersion. It's good to be dunked, but it doesn't matter if you're dipped or you're dunked or you're christened or you're sprinkled or whatever it is, not christened, sprinkled or whatever. What matters is the condition of your heart, because God looks there. He's concerned why you're wanting to be baptized. So it's not the mode of how. It's the heart that matters. So that's one. The second question I have is, can a person be baptized more than once? Yeah, absolutely. The Bible doesn't forbid it at all. Many times a person who's maybe backslidden for whatever reason, and then they've decided to come back and they really make a commitment to Jesus, say, I want to seal this commitment with Jesus, and one of the ways I know I can seal that commitment is I want to be baptized again. That happens. That happens pretty regularly. Another is maybe a person had an incredible encounter with God, or they're called into something really supernatural, cool, and they just feel like, Lord, it's another way that I can express my devotion to you, my obedience to you, and I want to seal it again with this time. That happens too. All you're doing is once again saying, I'm dead to myself and I'm alive to God, right? And some of us, I think, today are going to be baptized for the second or time, and that's a great thing. So then the third question I have is, can pastors be the only ones who baptize people? No, not either. Although some of us who like to feel important put that on you, because what would I do all week if you didn't need me to do that? You know, I mean, I'm already accused of not working very much, so at least I can do that, you know? Well, that's not what the Bible says at all. It appears as if Jesus never baptized one person. And Paul only baptized a few. So according to Scripture, any Christian can be permitted. In fact, JP is going to baptize his daughter today. Isn't that glorious? I'm so excited for JP. And then the fourth question, and again, if you have more, let's talk. Should you be baptized? Absolutely. If you're a Christian, absolutely. It's a command. It's an outward show of your faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a step of obedience for every Christian. And I think that many Christians view baptism as it's really no big deal. I got saved 10 years ago, and I just haven't gotten around to it. Well, that's a poor attitude toward baptism. It really is. Baptism may not be essential to salvation, but it's essential to obedience. One of the things I do as a pastor, counseling things, is you talk with people and they're struggling in certain ways, and you try to figure out kind of where the root is. And one of the questions I'll ask a person is how their life is obedient to God. How are you living an obedient life? And one of the questions I'll ask as we go through that is, have you ever been baptized? It's amazing the number of people who really, really struggle in their Christian walk who say no. And I just wonder, if maybe some of the struggle is because they haven't been obedient to one of the most basic things that God has called us to. So if you're a believer and you've yet to be baptized, we can do it today. If you don't have a swimsuit, I'll get in my clothes too, so you don't feel uncomfortable. I don't care. Sandy does my laundry. Ah, I got a maid. Where is Sandy? Oh, she is. Oh, she dropped her head. Look out. So let's pray. Let's go. You know what? I'm in and early on purpose. Chris is not going to come up. We're not going to do a worship song. We're just going to go. It's not even 11. So the reason I wanted to teach this in a hopefully not too short a fashion is encourage you. Let's just go get in our cars and go over and enjoy the baptism. I don't know who all is getting baptized. I know a couple. Come join us. And we'll worship for a little bit, just a little bit, 2 or 3 or 17 songs. And then we'll get in the pool and we'll have some fun together and splash around, okay? Lord, thank you for your love. What a great, great God you are. And we're just so humbled by the fact that we're your children. I pray each one of us would know you as our Savior, God. If any of us in the room today, we just never come to that place. I pray they'd hear your voice. I really do, Lord, that they'd hear your voice. I don't care that they hear mine. Lord, they need to hear yours. Thank you for your word, that as I spoke up here, that they're hearing your voice through this written word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would just show them the importance of this step of obedience. And Lord, that first, that they would come to know Christ as their Savior. And then second, that they'd say, I want to do this today. And so we'll just trust you to move on our hearts. Thanks for those who are called to today. And we as a congregation, we just want to surround them and love them and bless them and encourage them as they take this step. And we just ask your Holy Spirit to go before us now as we drive down the street. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.